So anyway, we're back and we were thinking this week, what are we going to talk about in church? Because we're usually in a series. And when you're in a series, it's really simple because you know automatically where you're going to be going the next week. That's how series work. But now we're in these kind of standalone messages, and that's very challenging for pastors saying, Lord, what would you have me to share this week? And I got in a conversation with a couple good friends, and throughout that conversation, my thoughts were led to one of my favorite Old Testament characters. By the way, how many people have a favorite Old Testament character? Anyone? On three, I want you to yell his or her name. One, two, three. Somebody say Daniel. Okay, David, that's cool. David's mine, actually. That's who we're going to talk about. David is one of my favorite Old Testament characters. And as I was thinking about David this week, I began to make a mental list of some of David's achievements. We all know the story. I think it's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David's this young teenage shepherd boy, and one day he goes to the battle lines to visit with his brothers. He was the youngest of eight, and they were fighting against the Philistines, and there was this big giant that was intimidating the Israelite army. His name was what? Goliath. And everybody was afraid of Goliath, but not little teenage David. David did what? He went down to into the water, picked up some stones, and put them in a slingshot, and he took his slingshot, and he let it loose, and it hit Goliath right in the forehead and killed him. And David wasn't done then. He cut off his head, took all of his armor. How many people know David's the man's man? Amen? I love David. We also know this about David, that he was a soldier. He was a soldier. As I just said, he was a man's man. He was a guy that was a fighter. This was the type of guy, if you're an outdoorsman, David was that kind of rugged, tough, just get after, hurt guys type of guy, okay? We also know David was what? He was a poet, and he knew it, okay? David was a poet, and he wrote probably about 75% of the Psalms that we find in the middle of our Bible. He had a very tender side. So all the ladies loved David because he was tender and soft, but all the guys loved him because he was rugged and tough. So he was just this Renaissance guy. I mean, everybody just loved David. We also know that he was a skilled musician. I mean, this guy had it all going on. He was a skilled musician. And many times when Saul the king was being tormented by evil spirits, David would get out his harp and he would begin to play his music, and Saul would begin to be relieved of the evil spirits. So very talented. We also know that he was the second king of Israel. The Bible tells us he was the greatest king of Israel. Just a couple more real quick. One other thing. The Bible says that God described David. God described David as a man after my own heart. I mean, this guy had it going on. You say, well, those are a lot of achievements. Did the guy ever mess up? How many people know David messed up? David was disobedient to God. David committed adultery. David committed murder. But here's the thing. David knew how to bounce back from his defeats. I think that's very important for all of us, because there's times I mess up a lot. There's times we all mess up, but we can't stay down. We got to learn how to bounce back. Amen? And one of the ways we bounce back is by confessing our sins and repenting and saying, God, we blew it. Will you help me? And God lifts us up and he restores us. And if you're here today and you're saying, well, I have a bad past, I want to let you know, don't allow your past to define who you are today, because there's forgiveness through the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? Is everybody with me? Say amen. 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 So if you ever want to read the story of David, you can go to the two Old Testament books of 1 and 2 Samuel. Those whole two books are devoted to the life of David, and it's very entertaining reading. It's very fast-paced reading. It's very exciting, okay? So I think we would all agree, and this is where we're heading today, I think we would all agree that David lived a very successful life. How many people would say, yeah, David, sounds like he had a lot of successful things going on? So the question I asked myself this week was, what was the key to David's success? Musician, poet, great leader, great king. I mean, won a lot of battles. What was the key to his success? Well, for starters, it was apparent that the blessing of God was upon David. I want to say that again. Big part of David's success was this. It's same true of us. The blessing of God was upon David. If you're going to be successful, that's a huge piece of the puzzle. The blessing of God being upon you. You say, well, I would love that, but how does that happen? Well, it starts by having faith in Christ, but it continues as you're obedient to God. Those who are obedient to God, blessings follow. I just want to make that very clear. We want to be blessed, but a big piece of the blessing is, are we being obedient to the counsel of God? Are we being obedient to what we know is right and wrong? Okay? But there's a second piece to David's success that is often overlooked. And that's what I want to touch on for the next few minutes. A second key to David's success that is often overlooked. And I want to speak directly at you this morning that this is also a key for every one of us. So I hope that you'll lean in, and I hope you'll just listen to me for the next 15 minutes at the most as I share what a big key to David's success and what will be a big key to your success. And that is, a huge part of David's success was due to the fact that he surrounded himself with an incredible team of people. He surrounded himself with an incredible group of friends. It doesn't sound real spiritual. The spiritual part, yeah, the blessing of God. But another big piece to David's success was the team of people that he had in his life. A big piece of his success were the friends that he hung out with. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the same will be true of every one of us. We'll be blessed when we have the blessing of God. We'll be successful. But it's very important who you allow in your circle of friends. Does everybody got it? Say, I got it. Do you really got it? Say, it's deep. I got it. Okay? And the Bible tells us, and we're going to read a passage. You can begin to turn there and try to find it. It's at the beginning of the Old Testament. Try to find the book of 2 Samuel if you'd like to make that effort. If not, it's going to be on the screen. But David had a group of friends, and there was a particular group of friends that was called this, and it's on the screen. David had a group of friends called David's Mighty Men. David's Mighty Men. Everybody say that together. David's Mighty Men. Who were David's Mighty Men? Well, this was a group of 30 guys. These were elite warriors, elite soldiers. Because in David's culture, if you were going to be successful, you better know how to win a battle. I'm talking hand-to-hand combat battle. So the key to David's success is he had what the Bible talks about as these 30 mighty men. 30 mighty men. And then, if you look further in the text, you'll see within that 30 men, there was a group of three that were the cream of the crop, a group of three. And these warriors were known as, and it's not a real creative name, but these warriors were known as the three. Isn't that creative? The three. So there's the 30 mighty warriors that David surrounded himself with, and then there was this group of three. I call these guys the superhero. How many people know Superman? He knows how to fly, but he doesn't want to fly alone. Amen? And that's the super, that's the three. And we can read about these guys in 2 Samuel chapter 23. So follow along as we read, because this is so powerful. I want to say it one more time before we read. If you're going to be successful in life, a big key is who you're going to hang out with, who you're going to surround yourself with. Okay, so let's go. It says in verse 8, these are the names of David's mightiest warriors. The first was, and pardon if I mess these names up, Jashobeam, who was the leader. He's the leader of the three. The three mightiest warriors among David's men. Then look at the description, a little accomplishment. It says, he once used his spear to kill 800 enemy warriors in a single battle. How many people know that's impressive? All I've got is a spear, and I'm going to go out into a battle, and I'm going to kill 800 enemy, not ladies, not children, not geeks, but warriors. So he goes into a battle of warriors, and with one spear, he kills 800 warriors. How many people grew up about the same time I did, and you watched the movie Rambo? Oh, didn't you love Johnny Rambo? I love these movies where there's one-man wrecking crews. I love that stuff. And Rambo was one of those guys. Well, I look at this Jashobeam as Rambo on steroids, okay? I mean, 800 guys in one battle he kills. And I don't know about you, if I'm picking a team to go to battle with, he's my first-round draft choice. I mean, I want Jashobeam. Okay, so let's move on. Verse 9, next in rank was of the three was Eleazar. Once, Eleazar and David stood together. Against who? The Philistines. You need to understand the Philistines were the primary enemies of the Israelites. Once they stood together against the Philistines, listen to this, when the entire Israel army had fled. So here are these Israelites against the Philistines and everybody's leaving. And there's only two guys left, David and Eleazar. And it says he killed Philistines until his hand was too tired to lift the sword. And the Lord gave him a great victory that day. And the rest of the army did not return until it was time to collect the plunder. By the way, how many people have friends like that? Going gets tough. You're losing. Things aren't going well. Hey, see you later. Good luck. God be with you. But soon as things turn around, hey, Mike won the lottery. He's winning again. Everybody comes to collect the plunder. By the way, don't raise your hand if you have friends like that. My suggestion is you better check who your friends are, okay? Let's move on quickly. Next in rank was, I'll pronounce it, Shema. And one time the Philistines gathered in Lehi and attacked the Israelites in a field full of lentils. Very detailed there. The Israelite army fled. Here you go, they're fleeing again. But Shema held his ground in the middle of the field. I could see him there with a M60. No, probably not back then. In the middle of a field and beat back the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. So these are David's circle of three. Then you have the circle of the 30. These are the people that David surrounded himself with. But let's continue to read. This is really cool. I don't know if you've ever read this in the Bible, but it's in there. Verse 13. Once during the harvest, when David was at the cave of Adullam, the Philistine army was camped in the valley of Rephaim. The three who were among the 30, an elite group of David's fighting men, went down to meet David. David was staying in the stronghold at the time, and a Philistine detachment had occupied the town of Bethlehem. So nobody was getting in and out of Bethlehem because the Philistines had taken over. So all of them are talking. David's talking with his three mighty men, the three. And look at what David says. David remarked longingly to his men. Just in a casual conversation, he says, "Oh, how I would love some of that good water from the well by the gate of Bethlehem." So they're talking, and David says, "Oh, guys, wouldn't a good water taste good? Wouldn't water taste good right now? I mean, what's some good water, Dasani? Wouldn't that Dasani water taste really, really good right now? Think about that well that's located right by the gate of Bethlehem. Oh, I would love to have a drink of that water right now." If I was one of those three guys, I would have said, "Hey, not today, maybe later." But look what happened. So the three broke through the Philistine lines. They drew some water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem, and they brought it back to David. How many people know that's pretty impressive? The three said, "Hey, this is what David wants. We're going to go and we're going to break through the enemy lines." And they bring back the water to David, but he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out as an offering to the Lord. He said this, "The Lord forbid that I should drink this," he exclaimed. "This water is as precious as the blood of these men who," what? "They risked their lives to bring it to me." So David did not drink it. These are the examples of the exploit of the three. So how many people would agree with me today that David had a pretty impressive group of friends? Anyone? Impressive? The rest of you aren't impressed, huh? I'm impressed. How many would agree that David had an impressive group of friends, an impressive team? I mean, David's friends were so impressive that they often determined the outcome of many of his battles. Without his friends, I want to let you know, David would have been in some deep weeds. David would have been in some big trouble if he didn't have this group of friends that was there to fight his battles. His friends were the key. I want you to think about that before we move on. His friends were very important. This team of people that he surrounded himself was the difference between victory and defeat, because he had this elite group of people in his life. So why do I bring this up? Listen carefully. I bring this up because we all have something in common with David. All of us sitting here today have something in common with David, and that is that we face battles. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever faced a battle? We face battles. We face challenges. We face adversity in the journey called life, okay? The battles that we face may be physical battles. The battle you face may be an emotional battle. Maybe there's fear. Maybe there's anxiety. Maybe there's disappointment. The battle may be a spiritual battle. Spiritual battles are real. We get discouraged. We want to quit. We want to give up. Your battle may be in a relationship. Your battle may even be financial. The bottom line is things don't always go as we planned. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes things just don't go the way when you were sitting back looking at your life and when I get there, this is what it's going to look like. And things just don't go always the way you plan. Sometimes there are battles. There are what I would call adversity and challenges that come our way. And things don't always go the way we plan for them to go. But here's the thing. Listen carefully. How you handle those battles, how you handle those challenges, how you handle the adversity, listen carefully, can either make you stronger and bring victory, or they can break you. They can make you or they can break you. They can determine if your life is successful or a failure. Because we all go through battles. I know I go through battles. Pastoring a church is a battle. Anybody who works with people, there's battles. I mean, battles are just a part of life. We live in a sin-fallen world. Aren't you glad you came to church to be encouraged this morning? But that's the reality. So this is my thought. How can we experience victories when the battles of life come knocking at our door? Because you're going to face battles. By the way, if you're not facing a battle right now, raise your hand. If you're not, that's good. There's a season when you're not. And in those seasons, say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. No battles. Life is good. But there's other times where it's just battle heavy. Okay? And what do you do? How can you experience victory? How can we follow David's example and be victorious even in the tough times? And what we're going to do is I just want to share two things that David did that we need to do. Number one, when you're in your battle, you name your battle. I think people right now are thinking about your battle. I'm thinking about my battle. Oh, everybody just go, the battle. Two things you need to do in the battle. Number one, draw close to God. Everybody just say that together. Draw close to God. See, some people get in a battle and they get mad at God. God, how could you allow this to happen to me? How do I know that? Because I've been there. God, I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to be faithful. I'm doing this, that, and the other. And how could you let that battle come into God, I'm mad. How could you let that happen? So we could look at our battle and we could get mad at God. People do it all the time. Some people get so mad that they leave the faith. They turn their back on God and say, I thought you were a God of love. I thought you were a God that was good. Pastor Mike tells us you're a good God and look at what happened in my life. Okay? But here's the deal. When the pressure's on, don't run away. Run closer. David, I told you he was a poet. There was a time when he was going through a battle. Let me read one of the verses that he read in the midst of his battle. Psalms 46, verse 1. Is it on the screen? Can we read this together? Everybody together. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Did you catch that last part? Always ready to help in times of trouble. I love that when I'm in a battle. There's times I want to figure it out because I'm a male. Fix it. Do 1, 2, 3. Do ABC. I'll fix it. I find a lot of times I make it worse. And I'm finding, Lord, I need to come and draw closer to you because you're my refuge. You're my strength. You're the one who's ready to help in my time of trouble. Lord, I may not understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. But God, I trust that you know the outcome. You see the bigger picture. Amen? So when you're facing your battle, you enrolled in college and you got denied in the college you wanted to go to. You applied for a job. You didn't get that job. You got laid off from a job. Don't run from God. David did what? He pressed in. He pressed in. He got closer. Here's what I believe, and I say this in respect that I think I'm right, but I may be wrong. I think there's times that God allows Mike Bechtel to go through some tough times, some battles. Because you know what the outcome of battles often is in my life? I go back to God, to a place of intimacy, to a place where he wants to be with me. And sometimes when my life is so comfortable and everything's rosy and everything's wonderful and I'm on the hammock of life sitting on a breeze cool day, I get caught up and I forget about God. Just a thought, I may be wrong, but I found that to be true in my life, that adversity brings me back and say, God, I can't live another day without you. I'm a mess up. left to myself, I can really make a mess of my own life. Is anybody with me? So the first thing, do that. Second thing, when you're going through a battle, adversity, a challenge, surround yourself with a great group of friends. Friends who are going to stick it out regardless of how bad things get. I've been through some tough times before, and I was like, wonder where that friend went. They went the other way. But I tell you what, there's also been some tough times in my life that I'm so thankful for. The Mike Roeders, the Jason Roeders, the Heathers. These are people in my life when I say, man, I sure would like to have some of that cold water from the well in Bethlehem. They get up and they go get me some cold water from the wells in Bethlehem. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They break through the enemy lines because there's a love relationship there. And those are the people that you need to be around when you're going through the tough times of life. Not people that are spewing, oh, turn your back on God, run from God, do your own thing, do this, do that. No, you need a friend. You need friends that they know God. Amen? Are you with me? Listen to this verse real quick. Ecclesiastes, it says, two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They can get a better return for their labor. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But people who are alone, that's me, I'm a lone ranger by nature. But people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble. A person standing alone can be attacked, can be defeated, but two can stand back to back and they can do what? Conquer. Three are even better. A triple braided cord is not easily broken. I want to encourage you today, if you're going through a battle, draw closer to God, not away. Get a group of friends in your life. And stay close to those friends. They're going to help you. They're going to feed you. They're going to be a team that's going to lead you to victory. So how can we have these great friends? Three thoughts real quick. Three thoughts, 30 seconds each. How can I have friends like that? Pray and ask God for friends like that. Say, God, I'm sick of going through battles alone. I'm sick of being lonely in life when I go through tough times. God, will you give me some great friends? Number two, go on the hunt. Keep your eyes open for those type of people. They're out there. People are out there. There are some real godly people that will do anything. They'll give their life for you. And by the way, if you have some of those people, thank the Lord for them and tell them how much you love and appreciate them. Amen? Number three, this is the biggie. Be that type of friend to people that you want to have. Does that make sense? You want to have friends that would do anything for you, that would go through a wall for you, that would go through an enemy line for you. Guess what? You be that for other people, because I believe the biblical principle is this. You reap what you what sow. So my whole thought is today, success comes from the blessing of God, drawing close, abiding. He's everything. He's ultimate. He's everything. Number two, some of us need to hear today, if you're going to be successful in life, you better surround yourself with a good group of people. I do want to say this. Some of you need to reconsider the group of people that you're allowing yourself to be super close to. If you have people in your life that are bringing you down and not up, you might want to reconsider your friendships. Are you hearing me? And I love the three because David had a group of guys that when he got down and when he went to battle, he had the three. He had the 30. He was well taken care of. Will, I want to speak to you just for a second. This is Will's last Sunday, Will and Adrian. Will will be transitioning to a church down in Ellsworth called Bethel Covenant Church, and he'll be working with his brother-in-law as the pastor. And Will, if there's anything you remember from this church or from me talking, this is what I want it to be. Be one of these guys for your brother-in-law. Be one of the three for your brother-in-law. Because I know what pastors go through. I know what your brother-in-law will go through. There's times that are great victories. There's times that are great challenges. And Will, I want to encourage you to be there for your brother-in-law. Say, hey, as long as I'm around, I'll lift you up and I'll encourage you. Will be a young man for God. Amen? I want to address one more group of people before we go to the communion table this morning. By the way, if this church is going to be successful, we need the 30 men, and they don't have to be just men. I want to make that clear. We have some tremendous women here. If this church is going to accomplish its mission, it will never be one guy It will never be a one-trick pony. It will never be the Lone Ranger. Even the Lone Ranger had who? Tonto. This church is going to succeed. It's going to take some great leadership teams. It's time for everyone to just take it up just one more notch, just one more level. Next week, Heather is taking over the responsibilities of the music, and I'm so proud of her. I know this isn't her biggest passion, and it's going to be challenging, but I'm so proud of her to step up. I hope she had a choice. But I want to talk to the praise team right now. Praise team, we all got to step up, and we got to help Heather. Are you hearing me? And everyone in this church, we got to help Heather. We got to support her. We're going to pray for her. We got to encourage her as she embarks on this new adventure. Okay? Is everybody with me? So my biggest thought for you today, if I could leave you with one little pot of gold, is this. Will you stop this week and really look at who are the closest people in your life? And ask yourself, are these people bringing me up or are they bringing me down? Are they leading me closer to Christ or are they leading me further away from Christ? Are they helping me in my battle or are they deserting me? If you're going to be successful in life, you need to surround yourself with some great people. And I know my generation and those who are older than me, this is brand new stuff. My generation, be a man, buck up, do it yourself, because you're the only one who can do it the right way. I'm learning through humiliation and being humbled. I'm really being humbled in realizing that I need people. I need the three. I need the 30 men, the 30 warriors to surround me. And that's the only way this church is going to go to victory. Amen? Amen. I hope by the Holy Spirit's help today that this got through. And it will continue. God will continue to speak to you this week. Because I know some of you that are facing challenges, draw close to God. Get people in your life that are going to lift you up and encourage you. Amen?